Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Look, just keep playing, guys. That's awesome. We're gonna go back into that. It's our own self. God, you know. Oh God, I did this week. I did that this week. I mean, we disqualify ourselves because we come into His presence and we go, oh God, you are so great, but I am just a really total loser. And we succumb to the voice of the accuser. Get that? We succumb to the voice of the accuser. And when Pastor Mike and the band lead us into this amazing time of celebration and worship through music, and we come into His presence and we go, oh, you are so cool, God, but I am such a louse. Oh, God, I am. And we, you know what we do? Can I tell you what we do? Here's the truth. It's called our ego, that somehow this moment is really about how bad I am instead of how good you are, God. I mean, I don't care if you're religious or not. Frankly, I hope you're not religious. Honest to God. I hope you're not religious, because Jesus didn't come to save the religious. Jesus came for those like you and me that are desperate enough, and we recognize that we're desperate for Jesus Christ. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And He saved His harshest words for the religious. Can I tell you something? He called them a brood of vipers. You pit of snakes, you religious hypocrites. Do you ever feel like that about religious people? No, you're in good company. Jesus said it. Jesus actually called them. Pastor Harvey, am I right? Yes, thank you. I got people that are going, I don't know what the Bible says, but I don't know if... Yes, it does. He called His harshest words were for the religious of the day. Because you see, it was about them. Because they tried to steal the glory of God and make it about them and judging other people. So they bring a little girl caught in the act of adultery to Jesus, and they kneel her before Him and say she was caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus simply says, since you want to make it about you, you know, instead of me, Jesus said, okay, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. If you want to make it about you, we'll do that. Okay, cast the first stone if you're without sin. And Jesus said, you see, they still thought, now he's talking about them. Can I tell you, Jesus was talking about him. Because there was one who was without sin. You see, they didn't even get what he was saying. They still thought it was about them. Well, if you want to make it about you, I'll let it be about you. But I'm really talking about the one who was without sin. Who was the one without sin in the huddle? What did he say? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He didn't say she didn't do it. I know he knelt down. I wonder if he wrote the dude's name in the dirt. I'm just saying, they didn't bring him, did they? Hey, listen. Come taste and see how good it is to dine at the Master's table. Never get a bad meal at the Master's table. And if you're eating with Jesus, if you're eating the food that He serves, and if you're drinking the drink that Christ serves, you'll never be bored. You won't be looking at each other and saying, hey, pass the salt, because it'll be just perfect. It'll have all the life-giving measure you will ever need, because you see, it's all about Him. It's not about us. Say, it's not about me. That's about half of us. I said, say, it's not about me. If we could ever get there, get ready to go back into this. If we could ever get there, guys, and we realize in a moment like this, it's not even about instruction. We're going to get to instruction here in a little bit. This time isn't even about instruction for us. This time is for us to come in and adore Him. This is the time where we come into His presence and we stand or sit, whatever you want to do. But whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus Christ and worship Him. Because this moment is truly about the Master. Let me tell you something. When you meet Jesus, first of all, if you're like, I don't know if you're like me or if you're not like me, this is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be looking at Pastor Mike and saying, can you believe we're here? Can you believe we're actually here? Seriously, we made it. By the way, don't worry about St. Peter. He's doing the same thing. I know. Can you believe we made it? Don't worry about Peter. Don't worry about James and John. Don't worry about Judas. Don't worry about Judas, by the way. There's nobody loves Judas more than God loved Judas. If you think God's grace isn't for Judas, you misunderstand. I am the epitome of doubt. I own a master's degree in doubt. But the master raises me up and he says, it ain't even about your doubt. I'll go over here. I said, the master says, it ain't even about your doubt. It's still about me. Your doubt, your sin, your wretchedness is nothing compared to my goodness. And I love you and I love you. Why do you keep making it about you? Okay. So when you come into the king's presence and you're actually there, are you really going to give it a... Or what are you going to do when you come into His... I'm not kidding. We're nuts around here. You might as well give it up for Christ. What are you going to do on the day you see Him? Come on. Okay. Have a seat. We are nuts around here. We're nuts about each other. And we're nuts about Christ. But we are not religious. I'm telling you, honest to God, we're not religious. I don't want anything to do with religion. Because let me tell you the definition of religion. Religion is man's way to God. And Jesus proved that that doesn't work. That will kill you. Religion, anytime man thinks man can fix man, that will kill you. So Jesus came to show and to say, there is no way for man to fix man. There is no way for man to come back into a rightful relationship with the Father. So I've come in your place and I will die as a permanent, perfect sacrifice for you there. What's the last word Jesus said? It is finished. So it's no longer about me. In the Old Testament, it was about my sacrifice. And God found some sacrifice acceptable. He found other sacrifice not acceptable. Am I right, Rabbi Harvey? Thank you. But in the New Testament, the sacrifice was made for you and me. Barry, why are you yelling? I don't have a clue. I just get excited. I yelled at the Rams games. I'm sorry. I was a season ticket holder. And I gave the very best to the St. Louis Rams. When the Rams came in, I was losing my voice by halftime. Ask my daughters. They were there. Kristen was right there. She's right back there. Raise your hand, Kristen. That's who Kristen is, right back there. And I was, the guy next to me was half drunk. I loved this guy. He was my buddy. By halftime, I was no voice. And literally by the end of the game. Because I wanted to, I'm passionate. Aren't you?
Amen.
Okay. Now, if you don't believe that, how many of you have grandchildren? Okay. Keep your hands up. Yeah, keep your hands up. You ever go watch them do sports? Don't you tell me, grandparents. Don't you dare tell me. You're not sitting there go, because I know I do it. Knock him down. Get him out. Steal the ball. This is what I used to do with Kristen. I'll give you a dollar. She played basketball in the YMCA. I'll give you a dollar, sissy, for every time you steal the ball from that boy. They stuck her on a boys team. And the people on the other side of the court, they're going, that dude's nuts. But they started counting how many times she stole a ball. And they'd come up to me, you owe your daughter $6 today. I'm serious. Why would you? Well, it's just me. I know it's just, my wife sometimes says, it's just you. And I get that. But the truth is, it's not about me. It is about the glory of Him. It's the glory of Him. When we come into a moment like you just experienced, even the dogs worship, for crying out loud. The Bible says the rocks will cry out. If you don't, they do. And by the way, they do cry out. If you talk to scientists, they'll tell you all about the universe that's still ringing for His glory. There's a ring out there. I mean, they are listening to this vibration ring that is throughout the cosmos and past the universes that are well known, even into the mysteries of the depths, and they're still hearing a ring from the glory of God's creation. He's spoken into existence. I don't care if you believe in a bang or a seven-day creation. He banged it if you believe in a God creation. If you're a banger, he's the banger. If there's a bang, there's a banger. If he spoke it into existence, and I believe that too. I believe he did both, actually. If he spoke it into existence, I also believe he spoke, "Let there be light." Okay, that's the God. Now we're just getting introduced to a little bit of who we're talking about today. This is the God who, if you've got a bulletin? Anybody got a bulletin? Kathy Matley, I love this girl. She is in the house. My mom's favorite House of Ivy employee sitting right here. Kathy worked with us. We're going to introduce you to Kathy and the family here in a little bit. This is the bulletin today. We're talking about our core values here at St. Charles River Church. And the family is what we're going to talk about today. The core value, it's one of our core values. It is why we exist. We believe it's the essence of God given to us as to why the church exists on the face of the earth. And I'm going to talk to you about two different aspects. Was this yours? Where'd this come from? Way over here. Thank you, Pastor Bill. Pastor Bill, you're awesome, man. Thank you. Anchor that front row. Okay, I want to talk to you, first of all, about the family of God. I want to talk with you about, I love Rick Warren's description and his, Rick Warren is probably one of the best writers about the family of God in modern day. I really love this guy. He's a pastor out in Orange County, California, large church. He wrote a lot of great books throughout the 90s and the early 2000s. Great brother. And in the Living Bible, I'm talking about the family of God this morning. There's two different aspects that I want to talk about in the next hour and a half. I'm teasing. I'm totally teasing. Kathy, I see Kathy's like, you told me 25 minutes. Kathy, when did you ever start believing me? So there's two different aspects I want to talk with you about this morning. The family of God and your personal family. And then we have a baby dedication. We're going to live this out in front of everybody today, what that looks like, how we come together as a family. So I want to talk with you about the nuclear family, the family on earth, last. But I want to talk with you about God's family first. If you happen to have a Living Bible or a telephone like mine, you can Google the Living Bible, 1 Peter 1:3, and it says this. Here we go. This is Peter writing. It is his boundless, your second birth. He's actually referring to your second birth. It is his boundless mercy that has given us the privilege of being born again so that we are now members of God's own family. We are now members of God's own family. I don't care if you're a Roman Catholic. I don't care if you're a Lutheran. I don't care if you're Assembly of God, Baptist, Presbyterian, Reformed, Unreformed, wish you were Reformed, or whatever you may be. I don't care if you're Church of Christ, United Church of Christ. I'm trying to go through them. United Methodist. I don't care if you're non-denominational like we are, even though I'm ordained through the Assemblies of God. I don't care what you are. We are all a part of the family of God, according to this. Did I miss any denomination? I don't care. Breathe it under your breath. Whatever it is, Southern Baptist is about 9 kinds of Baptists and about 8 kinds of Pentecostals. I don't care what your history is. That's enough of that, right? I don't care. And God doesn't either. God never established denomination or separatism. He didn't establish that. He brought us together as a family. Now, also down in Galatians, Paul wrote to the church of Galatia, chapter 3, verse 26, he says, "You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus." It's the common bond that brings us together. And I can tell you down through the, I'm talking about the decades that I've been alive, which is about 5.5 decades. I can tell you, especially in my ministry life, it was about 24 years, I have never heard so many people say, "I am so thankful for my church family. because my church family is actually more family to me than my own personal blood family. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. I can recall on one occasion we had a tragedy here at St. Charles River Church years ago. And I was out on Interstate 44. I was about 3/4 of the way to Springfield. And I got a phone call from one of our small group leaders. I got a phone call from, I think, one of Pam might have called me as well. And we had a child in the emergency room, actually down in Children's Hospital. And I'll never forget what took place in just, I said, I'll turn around. I'll come back. They said, Pastor, if you believe everything you've taught us, we are the family of God. It's not about you. And I'm sitting there going, somebody got it. Somebody actually grabbed on to this. And they said, don't turn around unless we call you and ask you to come back. We've got 9 small groups right now that all small 9 group of the 9 group leaders, all 9 small group leaders have come together. And right now, in fact, the small group that person belongs to is picking their other children up at school so they don't have to come away from the hospital. They're going to bring their children, make sure they have dinner. Then they're going to bring them down to the hospital to meet mom and dad. And I mean, I want you to know the things that I was catching on the telephone, I wanted to be a part of it. And then their words to me is, you are. You launched this. You're the one who taught us this. Trust us with this. I'm telling you, I've never seen the family of God gather around each other more in moments like that. And even recently, we've had tragedy in our church family here at SCRC. And SCRC family members are calling up saying, what can we do? We want to be a part. What can we do? We want to be there for you. We want to make sure that we're a part of the healing. We want to make sure we get this family through. It's what the family of God does. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Everybody turn there quickly. Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. This is the early church. This is what the early church looked like. And this is kind of our anthem here. Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. All of those 5 purposes, we have 13 core values and 5 purposes, all of those are launched out of this portion of Scripture. And it just simply says this. This is the early church. The Holy Spirit had just descended. If you know Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the Holy Spirit had descended, and it's not for the purpose of tongues. That was the evidence. But the purpose was the harvest. I got one person that agreed. Okay. The purpose was the harvest. It was during Pastor Harvey? The Feast of the Harvest. It was Pentecost is not ours, by the way. We think it's a Christian thing we celebrate. I got news. It's a Jewish feast. It's about the harvest. And it's not an accident that the Spirit of God descended during the Feast of the Harvest, because it is all about the harvest. Jesus said this. I didn't. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. This is Jesus' mission statement. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Bottom line. And I'm empowering you to reach the harvest. Acts 2 verse 4. Acts 1, 8, check it out. The purpose is people. That's what Jesus said. I was raised as Pentecostal, as many of you. I was raised in a Spirit-filled setting, like most of you, where we saw gifts of the Spirit. We love those things. We run after the God that gives those things. I don't run after the evidence. I do run after the causer of the evidence, though. You understand that, right? And so in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Why? Because they were in the presence of the Holy of Holies, and they recognized that He empowered them to go out and be them, to be Him. That's what Jesus said. You'll see greater things than you've ever seen me do. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. All the believers were together. What? All the believers were, in other words, they were unified. They didn't all gather in the same Colosseum. They didn't gather every Sunday morning just like this. They gathered in homes. Get that? They gathered in real life. Homes. Your home. The park. It's really, seriously.
all the believers were together and had everything in common. I'm going to stop there for a second. Several years ago, I heard Robin Ronda's son. If you've never met Keith, this young man is like a blessing in my life. I don't get to see him, but he's a blessing in my life. He was one of the greatest examples, and I'm going to publicly call him out on what he did one day. There was a lady that walked up to me after I was actually teaching about the early church shared everything in common. That's what family does. You need my frying pan. You got my frying pan. Well, you better take my wife's because you will not want to use mine. But whatever I have, you got. And I was teaching this on a Sunday morning, and Keith was, I was talking, anything you want, it's yours. I jokingly said, you want my lawnmower, it's yours. It's absolutely, come get it. Please come get it, Come get my lawnmower. Well, at the end of the service, a lady walked up to me out here in the foyer, and she said, Pastor, were you serious about borrowing your lawnmower? I said, yeah. You need your lawn mowed? About that time, Keith jumps into the conversation. Ma'am, do you need your lawn mowed? When do you need your lawn mowed? She was a senior citizen. He says, when do you need your lawn mowed? I think he might have been in uniform that day. What branch was he in? Marines. Oh, my goodness. No wonder. So anyway, yeah, let's hear it for the Marines. Let's hear it for the Marines. Yeah. So Keith walks up. He hears this young man. Ma'am, do you need your lawn mowed? When's the best day for you to mow that lawn? I don't need Pastor Barry's mower. I'll bring my own lawn mower over. When do you want me? And he mowed her lawn. I don't know how long he mowed that woman's lawn for. You see, there is something about the church family that is amazing. And I'll go on and I'll read that. They had everything in common. Listen to this. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone that had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And I will tell you why I believe the Lord added to their number. Because they were actually full of His love and mercy and compassion. And don't you want to be a part of something bigger than yourself? I want to be a part of that. When you see somebody feeding the poor, don't you want to go down and feed the poor? I mean, seriously, when somebody shows up with a van full of sandwiches and coffee, and I can tell you, a guy named Chuck Brooks did this to me years ago. He loaded a van full of sandwiches, coffee, all kinds of goodies, blankets and gloves. And Pastor Mike did this same thing for a couple of years as well. Pastor Mike Bowie. Well, Chuck Brooks pulls that van up. He said, Barry, let's go. We're going to go down to the city of St. Louis. I said, what do you got? And I'm looking in there. He said, Amy's, how many of you know Chuck and Amy? Okay, so Chuck and Amy are in the van. They said, let's go. So we got a couple other guys. We go down there, and we're handing sandwiches out. We're handing blankets out. We're handing all this. And you know what? Let me tell you what that does. That gets inside you. It gets inside you. What does the word say? It is more blessed to give than... Who was getting the best blessing? The guy getting the sandwich or the guy giving the sandwich? Yeah. So all of a sudden we start realizing I gotta mow somebody else's lawn. I gotta go to Panama on March 11 this year. Yeah. With 20 of you. We're going to Panama. Why? Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. Why? Because Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's why we go. It's not a money issue. I don't have enough money. I'm telling you that actually, factually, I don't have enough money. I'm not being rhetorical here. We don't have enough money. But we're going because Jesus will provide it. If we said we're going to go, I believe He honors faith. God honors faith. I don't go because I have the money. I go because God's going to provide the money. That's what the family of God is about. Family of God isn't American and Panamanian and no. This is what we long let go of that. No, there's no. Don't you dare blame me of being non-patriotic. You count any church that has more U.S. flags than ours, and I will dare you to find one that has more U.S. flags. Okay, but we're not Americans when we go. We're believers when we go. We are believers when we go. We're followers of Christ, and the church family in Panama needs our help. The children down there, little girl named, I won't give her name out. Most of you know the little girl's name. It was a street prostitute when we first met her. She was no judgment. No judgment. Don't anybody judge that. She's feeding her siblings. Jesus didn't judge the woman washing his feet with her hair and her tears, did he? He had more judgment on Simon because he didn't get the moment than he did on the prostitute that was washing his feet with her tears. Go listen to the song Alabaster Box and tell me you don't bawl your way through that song. We go because they have need. This little girl was 12 years old when we first met her. Today, she's a dental hygienist. She keeps in touch with my daughter and my wife and some of the others of you. I'm not saying she's an all-on believer of Jesus Christ, but I'm telling you, she knows the message. Last time I brought a church down there, this little girl. Anybody here that would know? Okay. I just want to make sure. The last time I took a church down there, there were several ladies that saw her show up. She's a little young lady about the age of my youngest daughter, and she's a pretty young lady. She's now grown up. She's got a job. She's able to support her babies, and she's supporting her siblings still also. But this little girl made something. She pressed past what was comfortable and what was easy. And today she is trying to do things that are right. And every time we show up, she shows up. I took a church down there not all that long ago from a different state. And several of the women, this is what their conversation was. You know what she is, don't you? You know she's looking for our men. Because there's white men here. You know that? There's gringos here. There's gringos. I'm listening to these ladies who are born again, full of the Spirit of the living God, judging this little girl who's just a pretty little girl. Get the picture. And I knew this little girl. She calls Gina Mama, and she called me Papa now. We don't send money down to her. That's not why she does that. She knows she's loved. So she shows up because she knows I'm going to be there. And she realizes it's not our group. It's not you that's there. But she's walking around trying to get to know people. And these ladies are talking badly about her. You know why she's here. You know she's here. On the third day, that little girl showed up. She came to me. She said, I want to give all the ladies a present. I want a picture with all the ladies. I said, you do? That's so sweet, sweetie. What are you doing? She pulled out, there were six, because there were six ladies. She pulled out of her little bag, which she had earned with her own money. She bought six bracelets that says, Jesus loves me. And she wanted to put them on those ladies' arms herself and get a picture with the ladies. I said, sweetheart, you wait right here. I flew up three sets of steps to the medical area, our clinic, and I got those ladies and I said, I don't care if you have to shut the clinic down for 20 minutes. You come down here right now because she wants to see you. What does she want to see us for? What does she want to see us for? I said, you just wait till she sees you. You, and then I've got pictures and I won't show you, but I've got pictures of those ladies bawling. She didn't know they said that about her. But those ladies were bawling as this little girl was putting those bracelets on them. She sent home one or two for Gina, for Kristen, and for Megan as well. See, she loves us. She got the message of Jesus because you all sent us. You get that? You all sent us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. If you don't go with us, you're still sending us. That's the church. That's the bride of Christ, and that's the family of God. Give the Lord a hand for that. Go ahead and give him a hand for that. And now I want to talk to you about your family. You see, God gave the family. God spoke the family into existence. He spoke the first family into existence. But let me tell you what God wrote to the people of Israel. He wrote this in the book of Deuteronomy after he gave the commands. I want to talk to you about your family. Listen to this. Who's he talking to? The religious? The pastors? No. He's talking to you parents. And he's talking to you grandparents who have a grand perspective of life. This is what he says. Chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. See, there's a benefit to obeying God's commands. Hear, O Israel. He's talking to the people of Israel, especially the parents and the grandparents. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey. Just as the Lord your God, of the God of your fathers, promised you, hear, O Israel. Now listen, here we go. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now that, listen to what that means. I had a brother of mine, a Jew, come up to me and really expounded on this. The Lord God is number one in your home. He's number one. There's no doubt. He's always going to be number one. I'm talking about he's the coolest. He's the creator. He is the number one. No. The Lord God, the creator of the universe, is to be number one in your home. His value system is to be your value system. His eternal value system is to be your eternal value system. Always and forever, the Lord God is number one. Don't you ever have another God. He said it in the commandments. I'll have no other God before me. That's what he's saying here. He's reaffirming the command. The Lord God is to be number one in your homes. Love the Lord your God with all of your hearts and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Who's he talking to? Parents. Parents. This is, government shouldn't be raising your kids. Legislature shouldn't be raising your kids, telling you what kind of education or a different education. Legislatures have no part in that. Do you know why they're a part of that? Is because of, I'll say it, of parents who think the government's role is to run your lives. And I'm not being conservative. I'm being biblical. This is what God's Word says. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road. Who does those things with children? Parents. When you lie down, in other words, when you go to bed at night, parents. And when you get up, parents. Tie them as symbols around your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Do whatever it takes, for crying out loud. The Lord God is one. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, Pastor Harvey came up and gave me one of the, what's that called? The little thing that, a mezuzah. The mezuzah is, if you unscrew the back of it and you pull open the back, they would roll scriptures inside, small scroll scriptures, and they would put it inside, they would close it, seal it, and they would put it on the door frame. This scripture on the door frame. Because anyone who passes by is entering into the house of the Lord. Because he's number one. You get that. You see, God gave the family. It's all about him. He is the creator. He is the one who instituted the family. And when we start acting like others, listen to me. Grandparents, you're part of the parenting. Whatever mom and dad says. Whatever mom and dad says. You understand that? But grandparents, you're as much a part of parenting, and I want to display this morning. I want to ask the Matley family and the Manises to join me on the platform. Manis grandparents and Matley grandparents, as well as mom and dad. Join me on the platform with Zane, because we're going to dedicate Zane to the Lord today. We do this as the family of God, and we do this as a family. As they step up onto this platform, Gina is going to join me on this platform as well. These are one of our core values. Now, there's two, but they're still one. The family of God, and the nuclear family, the earthly family that God gives to each of us. Tom and Jackie are precious to Gina and I. We've known her since she was a little girl. I've known the Matleys since I was a little boy. No, that's not true. No, I have known the Matleys for 30 years. At least, right? Come on over here, guys. I want to get mom and dad right here. About 35 years? Here we go. Tom and Jackie in the center. I'm going to get Gene and Beth there. Guys, this is your family. You represent a bunch of people. How many are in the Manis and Matley group? Stand up. I want to just give you guys a huge hand. Yeah, some of you didn't stand. I don't know. Go ahead and have a seat. Some of you are like, I don't know if I'm going to claim this, but anyway. The family of God, we just talked about that. I actually am a believer that in the church, I'm talking about God's family. Come on forward here, guys. There you go. Come forward there. I want to get you in all pictures. There you go. The family of God, I believe, comes together in moments like this. Because I can remember Jackie and Tom when I was a boy and I would arrive at church. I can name the people that were kind to me at church that day. I can remember that. Yeah, change that song. There you go. We'll pull that one down. That's all right. So, but I can remember those who, the parents, especially the adults, that were kind to me that day. Okay. I can remember because some of them, there was one particular gentleman that would actually kneel to me when I was a little boy and he would talk to me right into my eyes. I'll never forget that. See, God's family makes an impression on our children and upon our children's children. All of us are a part of the dedication of a child. Because you see, when that child, when Zane walks the halls of this church, and I'm claiming him to be mine. When Zane walks the halls, I'm claiming the Matleys to be mine. So, when Zane walks the halls of this church, what you say to Zane, how you treat Zane, can I tell you, I'll never forget people that would come up to me when I was afraid at Florissant Assembly of God Church. I was just a little boy, and I'd go back to my Sunday school class, and I'd be so afraid, and how the teachers spoke to me, how gracious they were and comforting they were. They became like second parents to me in those classrooms. Some of you, how many of you ever taught a Sunday school class? Raise your hand. Thank you for sowing into our children. Thank you. I'll never forget the Sunday school teachers that loved me. I'll never forget the nursery workers as the years went by. I'll never forget the high school and the middle school. We called it junior high back then. I'll never forget the teachers. I never forget the people that just stopped in the hallway and would look at me and actually acknowledge me. Isn't that a novel thing to actually stop and acknowledge a child? You see, the church, we do this well because Jesus did things well. Do you remember the story of the disciples around Jesus in Mark chapter 10? They were all around Jesus and the crowds are starting to push in around Christ and the children they're excited. Jesus is there. Everybody was excited anytime Jesus showed up in those especially that last year when the word went out that Jesus was coming. Yeah, Jesus is coming. You know, this guy that does all these things. And so there was something about even the children knew they wanted to be near him. Isn't that amazing? Even the children knew. Can I tell you, every Sunday morning, it's a humbling thing for me. When I walk through that foyer, and your children, they're our kids too. Gene and I, they're our kids. Your babies, they're our babies. Your teenagers, you guys are ours too. We love you guys. Let me tell you something. Yeah, yes, don't shake your head and know at me. Yes, I am. Back in. Well, I'll call, yeah, I'll be a daddy here. And no, you don't shake your head and know at me. Let me tell you, when your children actually come up and they run and they put their arms around me, let me tell you something, my heart just, oh. Do you know the privilege of being trusted by children? That's why it's so important that we protect our children. And there's a lot of your babies, they'll run up to me, put their arms around me. Pastor Barry, I love you. I have a picture for you. I never throw a picture away. Ask Gina. I keep it all. I keep it all. Because you see, we're family. We really are family. Gina and I love you guys. And guys, we love you. We love you guys. It is the most amazing thing. I get this privilege, this honor. I mean, it blows me away. I love the beads. I love the beads. It's the greatest privilege, guys, to stand here. This is your grandbaby. Can you believe we're actually doing this?
No.
It just blows me away, doesn't it? She still can't believe I'm the pastor of this church. Don't worry. I can't either sometimes. Well, don't tell. Don't tell a thing. What happened at House of Ivy stays at House of Ivy, right? I know. It's just the real life. This is how God does. It's so cool. Jackie, I'm proud of you. You are an amazing, amazing mother. Wow. Tom, how did we get this far, dude? Yeah. Dude, what a handsome dude. You look sharp. Your hair looks great, dude. That's her? Okay. No, you guys, you're a gentleman, and you're an amazing dad. You're going to speak into this young man that Jesus Christ loves him. You're going to speak into this young man what it is to have godly values, eternal values. I'm going to tell you, this is one of the most fun things I get to do. It's one of the great honors I get. At the end of a person's life, I can't tell you how many times the regrets are spoken just a few feet in front of you here. And one of the things I want to pray over Zane today is that Zane will live a life of few regrets. When someone says to me, I don't have any regrets. I just think they just don't get it. How many have regrets? If you're not raising your hand, I'm going to come talk to you. Because I'm telling you, I'd lift all four of my limbs if I could at the same time and not fall. I have had regrets in my life. There are people I wish I had loved more. There are people I wish I hadn't said things to. There are people I wish I had said things to. I'm not saying that they were immoral regrets. I'm just saying, so I'm going to pray that Zane lives a life of fewer regrets. Because when we leave this world, we leave this world with only one thing. What did we do with Christ? Now that, Zane, is the regret that we'll pray you never make. And we're just going to pray this prayer of dedication over you today. We're going to commit mom and dad and grandmas and grandpas to being that partner in Jesus Christ. You're going to point anytime Zane has issues. In fact, early in life, we're giving you a Bible today. Read that Bible to this little man. Let it be that the first books that he ever really remembers you reading are the stories about Jesus loving the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white. I know it's not in the Bible, but he loves all. Red and yellow, black and white. We're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children. Let him hear those songs. But let him know early that Jesus loves him. Okay? I'm going to let you hold him because I've already been through this once, and I'm going to escort you this way, and I want everybody on this side to see Zane before we dedicate him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't he beautiful? That is a handsome man. He's too pretty to be a boy. Okay, let's go to this side. We'll give all views. Here we go. Everybody gets a good picture. I know. We'll get the pictures done here in just a minute. I love you, buddy. Okay. That was for Auntie. Great Auntie. You know, this is just an amazing day. This is a great day. You guys are also saying, Lord, we're committing ourselves to you. If this isn't just about Zane and telling him Bible stories, this is actually about Zane's eternal future. And I'm going to tell you, the truth is, as you go, so he goes. Because we learn from parents what value system really matters. If it's just, can I just even be just stinking real with you? If it's just about church attendance, that won't stick. Because he'll find something else to attend that's cooler. But if it's really about caring that God loves me and God has a plan for my life that this set of books, these love letters will tell me all about, if you really value him, Christ, I'm talking Christ, not just the Bible. It's not just about the law. It's about Christ. If we really value him, this young man will be the most amazing, godly young man because you'll sow the seed into his life early. And that's what I'm praying for too. In Jesus' name, I know. It's just an amazing little thumb, isn't it? Okay, would you reach your hands out towards... In fact, stand with me and just stretch your hands out towards Zane, towards Tom and Jackie. And we're just going to pray for him. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we commit Zane to you today. We dedicate his life to you, to your service, that you would live through him by the Spirit of the living God. that you would flow through him with the power and might of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, that you would make him aware early in his life of the Lordship that you are in his life, that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of his life early. Let it be that Jackie and Tom recognize the significance, not just of this moment, but of the amazing privilege of living Jesus right into Zane's life. I ask you, Father, that you will change our hearts. Make us more like you as parents. Make us more like you as grandparents. That we would trust in you, and that we would obey your commands and your decrees. I ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Today, Zane, we dedicate you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand, will you? Stay right here. Stay right here, guys. Tom, first of all, I want to present to you a red rose on behalf of St. Charles River Church. Now, the red rose is, in our society, normally known as a very romantic gesture. And Tom, I'm not giving you a romantic gesture here. No. So the red rose actually signifies the bloodline of the man. You actually have a son to carry on your bloodline. That's an amazing thing that your dad knows all about. This represents also, though, the bloodline that is more important than even the Matley bloodline, and that is this. It's the bloodline of Jesus Christ, because he gave his life for you. You are the father of this family, and you will carry, more than importantly for your son, that bloodline. That, son, men in this house honor God. That's so rare these days, but I believe you're going to do it well. So we want to present that to you. It's a great responsibility, but a great privilege as well. Jackie, I want to present to you this white rose. It's a beautiful white rose. It represents the purity and sanctity of motherhood. You are truly, and I say this sincerely, an amazing mom. It's an amazing. All of a sudden, I mean, doesn't when your bride has a baby, don't they just get all of a sudden even more beautiful? It's just an amazing thing. You're just like, oh my God, how, Lord, do I? Well, we don't deserve our brides, but we are blessed by them, and we recognize that. So this is your gift from St. Charles River Church, representing the purity and the sanctity, the blessedness of being a mother. And this little red rose that is yet to fully bloom, it's unbudded, represents a life yet to unfold in front of this young man. And I'm going to present this to you, Zane. And I'll let mom and dad or whoever decide who's going to keep it. This is a certificate of your... I'm going to give these to grandparents. This is a certificate of Zane's dedication today that you all participated in. This is first Bible from St. Charles River Church. Grandma, make sure. Everybody read the word to this little guy. Read those little stories. Go by whatever Christian bookstore. Get the stuff that you just fill this little guy with the faith and the love of Jesus Christ early in his life. Wouldn't it be amazing if the first words he says is, Mommy, Daddy, and Jesus? I mean, Mama and Papa are going to be there. There's no doubt about that. But if Mama and Papa are also saying, hey, Jesus loves you, he's going to learn the name of Jesus early. So let's pray, okay? Let's pray. Oh, I love that. No, he's fine. He's good. He's good. Let the children come. Let me tell you, you know what, by the way, do you know what Jesus' response was, modern day verbiage? Don't you dare do anything. The King James is, suffer the little children to come unto me. Let me tell you, when they were trying to get to Jesus, the disciples stopped them. And this is what Jesus said, modern day verbiage. Don't you dare do anything to stop those children from coming to me. Get out of the way. And that includes mom and dad. That's us. Make sure we don't do anything in our lives that would hinder our children's getting to the real Jesus. You're standing. I'm going to have Pastor Mike come up and receive our offering this morning and make some announcements to you. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we dedicate this family to you in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. God bless you guys. You may exit over the ends. If you would give the Matleys and the Manises a huge hand, would you do that, Pastor Mike?
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.